It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to the season finale of That Other Masonic Podcast. Brother Jared Adkins.
Brother Todd Whaley.
Brother John McEwen may or may not be joining us.
I don't know where he's at.
So he may hop in later, but enough about that. Season finale, we're going out with a bang.
Yeah, a big one here.
So we've got a guest today that we have wanted to have on the show for a while.
For 3 years,
the
yeah.
The only guy that we kept continuously pushing back because we wanted to wait until the time was right. And essentially, when you're sitting in the Grand East for the state of Indiana,
you're a busy man.
You're a busy man, and the time is right. So without further ado, I don't think our guest needs any introduction, but
no,
we're going to let him introduce ourselves. You wouldn't mind to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Randy Seipel, Grand Master of Masons of the state of Indiana, most importantly, one of your brothers. So
that's right.
That's right. So we talk about Randy all the time.
All the time.
We first met Randy.
Good and bad.
That's right. We first met Randy. I think it was November or December of 21. I hadn't been back but 3 or 4 months.
Oh, probably. Yeah, he came down for a presentation.
He presented the Psalms presentation.
Yeah, Psalms 133.
And look what the cat drug in right as we start. Brother John, morning, John has made it.
So. You're late, John. Give me 20 laps.
So, all right, let's keep going. Let's get into this.
Who cares?
You know, Randy has been a huge supporter of what we're doing.
Absolutely.
In the show. So Randy knows how we do this, and we're just going to go ahead and...
There's no format.
Yeah. So Randy... You guys talk a lot, and everybody else sits here and listens to you.
Yeah.
And Todd interrupts me all the time. I can never get a word in edgewise.
Don't you give me that.
So Randy, you know how it goes. We ask the same question every time to start. So how and why did you get involved in Freemasonry?
Well, I got involved in Freemasonry basically because two guys that were influential in my life early on when I moved to Greencastle to become a police officer, young, 23 years old, trying to figure life out. And both of them were good men, but they were different, completely different backgrounds. One was a truck driver and was my neighbor. The other was our chief of police. And I'm like, you know, both these guys are really good. Something sticks out about them. And what is that common denominator of those two different men? And it was Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. I didn't come from the traditional Masonic family. I had a great uncle and a couple great uncles that were Masons that were spoken of reverently, but the family didn't really understand it, and it never really carried on until me, and then I created a Masonic family. So
nice. So yeah, your son's also a...
My son and my brother Mason. Just joined and was just installed as a junior steward of his lodge in Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Brazelle. I was born Saginaw,
He does this. Anyway, why kept you coming back to lodge after you joined? I know you had, you know, I've heard your story and everything on other podcasts, but what made you want to get involved as much as you have over the years?
I think for me initially was the building of relationships, of brotherly relationships. Again, going into a lodge, being a police officer for years, you know, you don't want to hang out with cops all day long.
No.
You know, you just don't. You know, and doctors don't want to hang out with doctors all day long.
Yep.
Truck drivers don't want to hang out with truck drivers all day long. So it broadened my horizons of being in a new community and meeting new men. And then for me, I really had a great mentor, and my one neighbor that encouraged me to join was also a mentor, and I really delved in deep into the catechism, into the questions and answers.
Right.
And then you weren't given a choice. It was just expected. You know, this is what you do. You have to get done before your next degree, and we just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I had a knack for it, and once I got into lodge and, you know, gave it a couple times and was encouraged to learn, the apron lecture was the first lecture that I learned.
Oh, all right.
And for me, wasn't real good in school. You know, I graduated with honors from college because I was finally doing something I wanted to do.
Yep.
But I kind of thrived on that achievement, and, you know, the lodge brothers, you would take me around, you got to hear this guy do the apron lecture, you know. and so I learned more and more, and that kept me coming back. And mostly it was the brotherly relationships and seeing that Freemasonry, when done correctly, truly does meet that obligation of taking a good man, not a perfect man, but a good man, and making him better.
Oh, wow.
So I strived for that because I needed to be a better man. I still need to be a better man. I'm still working on it every day.
Yeah, we're never going to get perfect. Not yet.
No. My show, your show,
right?
Kind of John's show, our show. I want to apologize to all of our listeners in advance because this has been an episode that we have had so many people asking for.
I know.
How many times have we been asked, why haven't you had Cyple on yet? Why? Just wait.
He's really busy, guys.
Like years in advance. Like we're waiting. So my mind's going to jump all over the place because we literally have like a million things we've talked about off air.
The one thing I want to ask you is your travels across the state.
Well, that was what the next thing where I was going with it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Your travels across the state, I mean, I don't know if any Grandmaster has been documented and traveled as much as you have. Every night you have something on Facebook, where is the Grandmaster at tonight?
Where is the Grandmaster tonight?
And I think it's a great way to for everybody to know, hey, you're out there. You're not just sitting in an office and running stuff. You're out there every day amongst the workmen like you should be and everything.
Can I interject something to that point,
though? Better than anybody I know.
That's what I do on this show. It's a comedy podcast with a little bit of Freemasonry. But before Randy became Grandmaster, how many times when he was, you know, Junior Deacon, Senior Deacon, did we not see him on social media? He's at this, like, you're talking about an ambassador for the craft.
Oh, my gosh,
years
yes.
Before you got that, you were going everywhere for years. Years.
Well, yeah, I mean, long time I've had you on Friends on Facebook, you've been traveling. I mean, I'm seeing you enjoy doing that.
Melanie's got to be a very patient woman.
She is.
What is some of the, you know, why do you want to be out there every night, Andy?
I think, again, for me, initially, it was once I learned the ritual, lodges needing help and going and meeting brothers 50 miles away and then meeting brothers 30 miles away. And I learned the funeral lecture. So, you know, you travel. You learn some work, you're going to travel.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it was a way of, through some of the difficulties in my life, was a way for me to stay healthy.
Okay.
You know, being busy, being active, and being active in this fraternity and trying to give back what the fraternity's given to me. You often hear when you go to lodge and we do the ritual and we take that extra 30 minutes to hear everybody's story and introduce themselves after the degree work, which in my opinion should be done at dinner. You know, we want to leave our candidate with that glow of the ritual work, not,
true,
you know, a bunch of stories. But
I've never thought about that until Randy just said that.
Yeah, that's one of my...
do that at dinner.
That's one of my personal things. By doing that, I just lost my train of thought. That happens when you start getting older. But by going out and doing that and meeting new Masons and just being a part of the fraternity and actually seeing, trying to give back, that's where I was going. You'll hear guys say, you only get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. You'll never be able to give back what it gives to you.
True.
You know, we talk about that in the 50-year award, you know, we're not honoring just you, we're honoring the fraternity that has enabled you to live your life upon the sublime principles that it inculcates.
Yeah.
And, you know, past Grandmaster Kenny Roy gave me an opportunity, and then when the craft elected me, the craft gave me the opportunity. I'm here for the craft. One of the greatest things I've ever heard a past Grandmaster say was Ken Willis. Past Grandmaster Ken Willis, in his elocution after he was going out as Grandmaster, said, "From the craft I came, to the craft I go."
Wow, that's beautiful.
And
that
was years ago. I don't know if you were.
I wasn't that grandma then, too.
But that always stuck with me as a younger Mason when I first heard him say that. And there's a need, and when I was a police officer, I always led from the front. Being a captain, I didn't lead from my car. I didn't lead from my office. I led from the front, and I think that's something the fraternity needs. Every Grandmaster brings something to the table. You know, it may be something very important that's very administrative. It may be an important message. It may be getting out there. And I think now that we're at the size and we're all accessible, and you have to be there in person. Mm-hmm. If you want people to follow you, if you want them to see the message, if you want them to know the message, and then you want them to live the message, you have to be dedicated to go out there
and be
with the craft. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, with me being I was raised in Tipton, Indiana, at Austin Lodge up there, we never saw Grand Line officers at Tipton. Ever, unless we did something wrong, which happened once or twice when I was master. I won't lie about that. Nothing bad, but just bad enough. But so we kind of had a bad taste in our mouths for Grand Line officers because you never saw them. The only time you saw them when you're in trouble. So, you're not going to want to see them. You're not going to like them. But since I came down here, and you know, you have all the guys from Evansville, Southern Indiana, and Jackie Ash, and those guys, like, well, these guys are just like we are. They're nobody special. I mean, they just got that leader, that higher leadership area that we got. And I think that's what's changed. That your travels aren't just around like Indianapolis or surrounding counties. You go all over the state.
There's 92 counties in the state.
I mean, you'll be in Evansville one night. Next night, you might be in Muncie.
Yeah.
I mean, you travel extensively across the state, and I don't know if any other grandmaster has done that. As far as I know, nobody documented.
We've got a lot of good travelers. Dave Morgan traveled a lot. He was out a lot.
I saw him down here quite a bit.
George Ingalls, past Grandmaster Ingalls. He was my rival in travel.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
okay.
He traveled a lot. He traveled a lot across the state.
So I didn't know what they were documenting like you.
And, you know, the important thing there as a Grand Lodge officer to realize is Freemasonry is pretty much the same wherever you go, but it's also different wherever you go.
Yes.
You know, you can go way up north to the region and come down here to southeastern Indiana, southwestern Indiana, central Indiana. It all has its own different flavor, kind of some of their own traditions and some of the ways they interpret things and three things. So it's, you got to be out to see what's going on that's good, where lodges need help, what lodges are doing great things that we never thought of doing that we can implement, and kind of feel the whole flavor for the state. I think that's important.
Mm. All right, I got one.
Go ahead.
So, like I said,
but Randy,
I apologize in advance because, like, we're going to jump all over. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about, maybe I should turn myself up a little bit. You think working in radio, even though part time. Anyways, Randy, I want to talk to you about the 33rd Psalm. So, when I came back after being away, you know, I've said the story. Grandpa passed away. I was just going to go. I was senior deacon. That was all I was going to do, Sonic service. Jackie Ash, God love him, wrote me. And before I knew it, I'm back. Then you guys elect me. But that November, December 2021 meeting, whenever it was, first time we met Randy, you came down, you did Masonic education on the Psalms. And I got to tell you, and I've never publicly said this, that was another reason why I was like, you know, I'm going to stick out another month or two, because that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What I had been missing for all those years, Randy presented in one form of Masonic education for 30 minutes right here, right behind where John's sitting. And I was just like, wow. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I know you're doing the real big follow me to Freemasonry thing now, but a lot of people may not know about the way you hit it with that 30. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what made you decide to present that? How you came up with that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, the original story, how that kind of touched my heart, was during my entered apprentice degree. I was a very large fellow at the time. I'm still a big guy, but I was big.
Right.
I remember you back in the day.
Yeah. And the lodge didn't have a uniform to fit me.
Oh.
So there was more hanging out of me than there was hanging in me. And I was embarrassed, and I almost left because I had pre-warned them, hey, I'm a big dude.
Right.
You know, I can bring clothes. Oh, we got something for you. And so I was a nervous wreck and, you know, all the things that go along with that. And as they brought me into the lodge room, we all know how that
goes. Yeah.
That goes. And praying that these pants wouldn't split off of me, and you know, it's just so embarrassing. And the guys were very good. They didn't, no hazing, no making fun of me. And during that certain point, when the chaplain was at the altar and he said, he had a real nice baritone voice, I could tell it was an older gentleman, didn't know who it was, and he said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." And that moment right there just stuck with me. And that verse stuck with me. I knew it. I'd heard it numerous times from church. And I probably couldn't have told you it was the 133rd Psalms, but I had heard it. And, of course, it goes on to say, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that ran down upon the head, even Aaron's head, that, down to his beard and the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended the mount of Zion, there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore." Well, as I started traveling and getting more and more involved in the fraternity, started speaking, doing a little Masonic education, and took leadership in Scottish Rite when I was in a group of Masons, for me, truly, it was a beautiful thing to be with our brothers. So I would always start with, "Well, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." And that kind of became just what I said a lot. Well, then I wanted to delve more into it. You know, what is this about the Dew of Hermon? And who is Aaron? And how does that all relate to Freemasonry? It's such a small part of the Entered Apprentice degree, but it really sets the whole foundation for the fraternity.
Oh,
that
yeah.
No matter where we come from, no matter what our profession is, no matter what our level of education is, no matter what our race is, no matter how we practice our grand architect of the universe, that this fraternity is built of different men that were charged and were taught to dwell together in unity despite those differences. And, you know, we don't celebrate each other for our differences. We mm-hmm. celebrate our likeness of all striving to be better men.
You know, and you were here. That was 4 years ago. That was November, December of 2021.
Yeah, I think so. I was senior deacon that day.
So it was 4 years ago now. John wasn't, we didn't know John yet. John didn't become an Entered Apprentice
until
the spring of 2022. But, you know, we had a little bit more attendance back then. We've lost a few.
We lost a few,
since then, you know, rest in peace. But when Randy went around and did that education, now this is something we have seen at every Entered Apprentice degree. We've heard that.
Heard it there 1,000 times.
We could regurgitate it, word vomit, like we've heard. But
I can say it from the book.
When Randy did it that night,
it meant something.
You know, you and I had started talking a little more, and we had got the idea about maybe we're going to do a podcast, maybe not. But you and I had started having that look at each other from the south to the senior deacon spot. Mm-hmm. And when Randy did that presentation, you and I both locked eyes for a minute, and we're like,
makes sense.
It's like, it makes sense. Like, this is kind of, and I was like, that was what I was missing, because I've told the story a million times. You always make the reference, the most important meeting is your fourth one.
Right.
After your degrees. Mm-hmm. The very fourth meeting we had in March of 2008, we had Masonic Education. Mm-hmm. Guy came down talking from the NM Masonic home, and
we had
a little education. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to have meetings like this every month. This is awesome.
womp, womp, womp.
So to get something different, you know.
Well, that's something I plan on doing this year. My year in the East, I've gotten guys lined up already to come down and do Masonic Education every month. Try to get more of them, but guys don't want to travel 3 hours to come down here sometimes.
Shout out David Bricky, who we inspired. You high five me. You inspired
we did
somebody
a good job with that. But what other education? I know you don't do just the 133rd Psalm. You do some other logic.
No, I do one that breaks down the applying the working tools to your daily life.
Ooh.
And I use the story of some of the audience is getting younger and younger, but did you ever see the Honeymooners on YouTube?
Oh, yes.
Jackie Gleason and
Alice.
Ed Norton.
I saw reruns back in the day.
they're very reminiscent of my dad and my uncle, who was my mom's best friend's husband. We called him Uncle Ralph.
Okay.
He was definitely Ed Norton and kind of goofy and you know, always getting into trouble. And my dad was definitely Jackie Gleason, kind of the short-tempered, loud, boisterous big guy. And Uncle Ralph had every tool you could think of, but he didn't know how to use one of them. And my dad had this bucket of mismatched tools with a few certain things he held very dear, but could fix absolutely anything.
Right.
So what's the purpose, just like our Masonic tools, what's the purpose of having these beautiful tools that we do this beautiful ritual on, and we never apply them to our own life?
Right.
And it breaks down each one of the tools of, you know, what's the importance of the 24-inch gauge, you know, am I spending enough time with my fraternity?
Right.
But and more importantly, am I spending enough time with my family? Just like this weekend, I had 3 lodge dedications installations mm-hmm. scheduled, had a lot of things scheduled, but unfortunately, my mother-in-law is ill and is in hospice, so we've taken that time. I canceled everything except for tonight because we needed a break from that. Is your time balanced? You
mm-hmm.
know, are you squaring your actions when you make a mistake? We're all human. We all make mistakes. You know, Freemasonry is not made of perfect men. It's made out of men striving for perfection by using those working tools, you know. So are my actions square today? And if they weren't, as a Mason, we should look at ourselves and say, I need to fix that.
Yeah.
That's where we always hear that we're Masons, not monks.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while I slip. Randy, I want to talk to you about appendant bodies. And I want to bring that up because you were a man with many irons in the fire. But I have referenced you on this show countless times because a year after I came back, a year after meeting you, I wanted something more out of Freemasonry. And I, you know, we always joke that I,
couldn't afford the shrine. That's always the running joke.
That was the running joke.
Todd and I have not got a grotto started down here yet, so it had to come down to one of the right bodies, and I could never decide. And I still have that text saved in my phone that you sent me where you broke it down to said, think about it like going to college. York Rite's where you go to get your history degree. Scottish Rite's where you go to get your philosophy degree. And I was like, that was just so simple but eloquent. That was all I needed because I've been a huge history nerd, so I went York Rite. But I want to ask you, what happened throughout your journey and how many years were you in when you decided, you know what, I need a little something more?
Yeah, I was pretty, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we look at our newly raised Master Masons as fresh meat for our pendant bodies.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a hot, hot topic. Yeah. We've talked about that on the show before.
And you know, I kind of took my time, and I live where I live in Greencastle. I'm right in between Indianapolis and Terre Haute. So I had guys from Terre Haute come to Scottish Rite, guys from my lodge, you know, go to York Rite, do York Rite. And I had guys from Indianapolis, hey, come to Indianapolis. So I was kind of torn. So I just kind of stood back and kind of watched, and I ended up deciding, but for really at the time, for my son, for the family part of it.
Right.
You know, Scottish Rite, a lot of family events and a lot of things that we involve the family in. So I went the Scottish Rite way initially and joined, and it was a big financial investment for me at the time. I was a young police officer. We weren't making a lot of money. Had a young kid. And so I went to absolutely everything I could with my family there and everything that I could go to because I wanted a return on my investment.
Well, yeah.
You know, so I got very involved there. I started singing in they had a men's chorus.
Men's chorus, yeah.
So, you know, I never left Blue Lodge. I never sacrificed my Blue Lodge for my appendant bodies. That was one thing I was committed myself to because you hear, oh, you know, they just go to the shrine or they go to York Rite and they never come back. You know, I stayed at my Blue Lodge.
And Randy, that's something I brought up on the show. And for the most part, a lot of Masons agree. But there is brothers out there in the fraternity, great brothers.
Oh, yeah.
We've never slandered a brother. We'll never slander a brother on the show. But there is some brothers out there. It's like, yeah, I got the blue, but I'm more about the York Rite, the Scottish Rite, the shrine. That's what I care about. But I've always said, and I'm sure you'll back me up, Blue Lodge should always be your foundation, your focus, because without Blue Lodge, none of this other stuff matters. And some guys, right or wrong, and I'm not judging a brother, some guys like, you'll see them. They'll pay their Blue Lodge dues.
Oh, yeah.
They're not at the meetings, but they're at every shrine meeting. They're at every grotto meeting, York Rite, State. Like, and I get it. It's nothing wrong with that. It's just, with, in my opinion, Blue Lodge should always come first because that's just me, though.
Yeah, but it's all what you wanted, what you want out of, you know, your membership. If you don't be an officer, you're not a ritualist, but, you know, you want to help out. The shrine, the grotto's got all those dependent bodies. If that's where your heart is, by all means, you'll do that. I mean, don't be here and, you know, get in everybody's way, I guess. I kind of look at it.
I would never say that's right or wrong. What I would say is if you're not getting fed at your Blue Lodge, you're going to go look for other things.
Okay, well, that's
that
a good
sense.
Point, too. That's a good
point,
too.
You know, so to me, I was very stubborn. You know,
me too.
You have the past masters and some lodges, not all lodges, and past masters are great, but that we've always done it this way. This is the way we're going to do it, and resistant to change. Well, I had one particular. It was a great guy, but man, he was solid in his beliefs and solid in this is the way we've always
changes.
Done it. No changes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one day, I told him, "You're 82 years old, and I'm 28. I'm going to outlive you." So I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to keep doing, and we'll eventually get to where, you know, I think we need to be. But Blue Lodges have to take the responsibility on to find out what is this new brother, because I'm not big on membership. This is about brothership, not membership.
Quality.
What are you looking for? What's your expectation of what you want to get out of this Masonic experience?
Mm-hmm.
And when you find that out, he wants to be involved in the community. I want to do stuff in the community. Okay, we need to give him an outlet to do that.
Right.
I want to learn about the history. I'm involved in history. Okay, we need to bring Masonic education in and start teaching him about some history, and then maybe he'll take the interest to take that over. I want to learn the ritual. Okay, will you give him a place to start learning the ritual, putting him with somebody to learn the ritual? Find out what his expectations are. And at the same time, these are our expectations of you. We've gotten away from doing our investigations at prospective brothers' houses, and we've certainly gotten away from reading the preliminary instructions. That's not done Very, very seldomly is that done. And that should be done with the family, if at all possible. But here's our expectations of you. We expect that you're going to be a member of Bethlehem Lodge,
right,
that you're going to try to come to every meeting that you can that doesn't interfere with your necessary vocations.
Right.
We want you here. This is how we learn and how we build our relationships. And in that, when you take your entered apprentice degree, we expect you to gain a working knowledge of the lecture.
See, I'm not the only brother. Because he did the air quotes like I do. Every time I say that on this show, I'm always doing the air. It's not just me.
Yeah. Or we expect you to learn this letter perfect.
Right.
If you'd expect that, then the lodge has to be committed to teaching that.
Right.
It's not his responsibility to be mentored. It's the lodge's responsibility to mentor him.
See, in the lesson, I've always asked Jackie that. Because Jackie, God, we love Jackie. I was like, Jackie, define working knowledge. He goes, well, it's not universal. He goes, it's up to each lodge. He goes, our working knowledge, he goes, it might be different between all three lodges in DuBois County. Line might have a different definition.
True.
DuBois might have one. You guys might have it. He said it's different.
Well, I look at it like you're getting trained at work. Where, you know, you work at one place. Your level of training might be higher than somewhere else you're working. Like I train guys in machining. Well, this guy might be a little bit smarter than the last guy did, so I'm gonna give him more. The other guy, he might get the bare minimum because I don't think he can do it anymore. So that's kind of the way you gotta look at it as far as masonry too. That hey, this guy wants to learn that ritual, word perfect and everything. This guy just wants to be a workhorse of the lodge, or he wants to do this. You know, you gotta see it that way, one way or the other.
Randy, I got another one for you. Like, my mind's just, we have waited 3 years to do this.
Would you quit kissing his butt and answer
No. Eventually, we're going to get into the follow me to Freemasonry and the Beehive. But the next thing on my list I want to bring up is the Sunday night Facebook Live. Like, we've had awesome. A lot of grandmasters use social media, but, like, you have taken social media to a whole nother level.
You've
with the fraternity
this year.
You've
done a great job at it.
And that, from what we see, there's always people watching. Now, usually, a lot of times, we're recording, so we're not watching
60 to 80
it.
People at night sometimes.
But what made you decide to go that route? And that seems to be very well received.
It. Well, first off, that came from an inspiration during COVID when Kenroy did it two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got on, gave some messages, you know, talked to the craft. And as much as I'd like to get everywhere, I can't get everywhere.
Right.
You know, and social media is often used very well in our fraternity, and it's often used very poorly.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's an outlet for negativity and complaints. And there's time for complaints, and there's times, you know, I'm very accessible. If somebody's got a complaint or concern, you know, give the grandmaster a call, send him an email, and let's talk about it. But number one, it's free.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's absolutely free, and I love talking with my brothers. And for me, it was a way to continually get out the message of the Follow Me to Freemasonry, of doing not only education, but we need to be inspired. When we come to Lodge, I want to leave and feel good and feel like my time there was spent valuably. You know, sometimes you're going to go and it's going to be, but hopefully you've had a good conversation in the dining room,
right,
or out in the parking lot in the meeting after the meeting. Walk away and went, man, I'm glad I came tonight.
Yeah.
Just like going to your place of worship. You know, I want to go and feel like I've learned something or that I've been inspired. So this is a way, you know, some guys can't get out. We've got a lot of brothers that are on there that are out of state working, out of country working.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are literally getting usually up to between 2,000 and 4,000 views a week on the after.
Okay.
And we're up to that. I can see that comment. I base it on the comments of over 135, 140 likes and comments that are actually on that are live. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's a great way to address things. If there's a problem, an issue, something good that's going on, you know, like I said, I try to make it fun and inspiring and well worth the 20
well,
to 30
minutes.
Well,
your commodity reports.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the commodity reports. I love that.
And, you know, we're supposed to laugh and we're supposed to have fun. It's not all about, you know, just the hard education and just the banging that part of it out. But
what's that letter G up there for?
Green beans.
Green beans.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows. I love green beans.
Well, I just put a meme out, and I found it. I don't know where I found it, but it was a Masonic green bean can. It was AI created there.
Oh, I saw that this morning.
I have gotten more likes and comments on that than I have anything else I put out. It's just hilarious. But
You got something you said were quiet. I know you've wanted John's, to talk to the man John's, a million times. I know you've got one.
Well, you know, I was just waiting for you to over here. Shut up.
Okay, go ahead.
You know we don't do that, right?
Yeah. Jared, yeah. You know, it's great. I told him I gave him a hard time. He said the Grand Master made another podcast before ours. And
he's made a lot before ours.
Yeah, I know.
And, this is the problem with us waiting. We kept pushing him. Everybody's like, why haven't you had Randy? Just wait. We've got something in the works.
You know, the big thing is that you were talking about the inter apprentice degree and something. I remember sitting down with Roger Van Gordon on our 100th episode, and he was talking about
the cluster that it was.
Yeah. But how much you really get out of that degree. And I remember going through it. Obviously, I was overwhelmed, didn't know what to expect. And that's one of those things. How do you think, as a fraternity, that we could possibly make that less overwhelming for somebody or something like that? Because there is a lot to learn in that, and maybe it's designed that way.
You know, you get a lot of information thrown at you at one time. That's why I kind of referenced that earlier, and I'll probably get chastised a little bit by some of our brothers, but when we leave that entered apprentice degree, it should be left with the last lecture and the closing of the lodge, and everyone go home. And maybe the mentor spend a few minutes, a little bit of time with our new brother to explain a little bit. Do you have any questions? You know, you have anything that comes up? And not with the 45 minutes around the lodge room. Yeah. You know, it's important to know your brothers. I always say when I've got the chance, I'll say, let's either do this at dinner, or brothers, we're going to close. And if you've got some words of wisdom you'd like to share with our new brother, please find him out in the dining room. You know, and then explain to him that Freemasonry is a lifelong process. You know, that's why the mentor should take him to lodge, enact the rookie program, get them involved in lodge. That you see, you experience this degree, now let's go see one. So you can sit on the sidelines and take it all in and take the time to really understand and start asking some questions. You know, there is a lot there. You can do your explanatory and your historical lecture at a later date. You know, so some lodges may find that that's a good way, because we can bring in our entered apprentices and fellow crafts into a stated meeting. You know, some lodges might find that that's a good way to lessen the blow, so to speak. Yeah. You know, yeah. And it is a lot of information. And you see guys glaze over, you know, after a while. And,
oh yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great lessons to learn in all the lectures. You know, so. You know, and basically explain it to them. Hey, this, you know, you're getting it by the water hose, and now when you come back and you start getting involved and into the culture of being a Freemason, you can take sips of it.
Yeah, because Jared was my mentor.
We're sorry about that.
Yeah.
We apologize.
Yeah,
I know. That's not true. But he studied a lot, and he fed me every time I went to study with him.
We did study a lot.
We're sorry about that.
Yeah. That is no joke, though. We really did study a lot.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. We didn't get to travel until after, I think, my fellow craft, but, you know, just time don't always work out. But, you know, he made sure, and I remember sitting down with him, like, there's no way I'm going to remember.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, I'm not going to remember this. I'm like, John, it's fine.
Everybody says that. I'll never remember all this. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
And really. I was shocked, but, you know.
And I made him start the same way that Grandpa did me. Like I always.
You mess up,
I
start over.
Yeah, Dad's a pushover. Dad would just give me the word. Nope. Papa was, we're going all the way back to the beginning.
And we did. But I learned from that, though, and it allowed me to learn that. And, you know, he was a great teacher. But, you know, I remember we have a great brother here, Philip Atkins. You know, we studied once together after lodge one night. And, you know, he sat there and he wanted to make sure I understood what I was saying. He's like,
that's the key.
That's what I didn't learn. Like, yeah, I've said countless times, I went through the lodge so fast, from senior steward to worshipful master in like 5 years. I didn't have a chance to learn what I was talking about a lot of times.
You parroted it back.
I just get right back.
That's the beauty of the Psalms presentation and the working tools. You know, I've had several brothers come by. 50-year member's gone. I never even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought of that. You know, why do we talk about the Aaron and the beard and the precious ointment? What is that? Why did it run down to the skirts of his garment? You know, there's answers there.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
There is a lifelong, we've got a lot of brothers, and I won't discount any of the esotericism in the craft, because that's important. A lot of guys are really into that.
Right.
There is a lifetime of study in that ritual and in that monitor, you know, that to gain a real understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, you know, and why we use all these symbols and how they relate in the daily life. You know, my gosh, the 9 classes of Masonic emblems.
Right.
And you could, you know, I tried to do one of those. I've been through, I think, all of them now on the chats, but trying to remind people, you know, about the beehive and about, you know, the pot of incense, you know, what is about, we're supposed to be grateful.
Right.
As Masons, we're supposed to be grateful.
What, beehives over, be industrious and don't be a drone, you know, get kicked out.
That's a perfect segue.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about, there's so much we want to get to with you. Let's talk about the beehive project a little bit, because that's been another huge undertaking that you've put out there for, you know, Indiana Freemasonry this year. Can we talk a little bit about the Beehive Project? What made you like make that a strong push this year?
Sure. Well, you know, it follows right in with the whole theme of follow me to Freemasonry. You know, just like I explained earlier, why I came to this fraternity, because there was two men that I knew that I respected and that I recognized that they were Masons.
Right.
So, you know, building this fraternity on brothership and brotherhood, not on membership, is we've got to be seen. You know, it tells us in our installation of officers that, you know, we're not a service organization. You know, our charity are the fruits of our teachings, not our reason for existence.
Right.
So the charity and the good works are really a sidebar, but that gives us an outlet to go out and to do good things. Feels good to do good things.
Right.
Feels good to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. And then good men see us out there doing these things. You know, who are you guys? What are you guys doing?
Right.
And it gives you an opportunity to tell them, well, you know, we're Masons, and this is, you know, one of the things that we choose to do is to be out in our community and try to make it a better place, because that shows Freemasonry is a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle. It's a way to live your life.
Yeah.
Unlike other organizations, it's a great place to go. It's fun. This is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're out there showing that lifestyle and being involved in the community and truly making a difference, because you look at all the studies that the Scottish Rite's recently done, the men that are joining the fraternity now are really wanting to make a difference in their own lives, number one, but in the community. I want to make this community a better place. Well, you look in your circle of what can I do as the individual man, the individual Mason. You know, I can go over and help my neighbor when I see they're not able to get out and shovel or walk.
Right.
A guy down the street's having trouble, I'm going to give him $100 to help him out. He lost his job. I'm going to give him $100. I'm going to go donate food at the food pantry. You can make a significant difference in your little community. Okay. Then my neighbor's a Mason. He makes a difference. You make a difference, and you make a difference. And Freemasonry is, Roger and I have talked about this, it's not a social organization. It's an organization of social change. We theoretically can. There is power in Freemasonry.
There is.
You know, and you connect each one of us and build on that.
Yeah.
We can change the world.
Yeah, and your
we can change our world anyway.
Oh, yeah. Your beehive probably something I didn't realize until just now that something I've been doing, even in my old lodge. You know, we were a pretty stagnant lodge for a long time. I joined, started going through chairs, and I'm like, you know, if we want to get more people in here, people have to know we exist. If they don't know we exist, they're never going to want to join.
Yep.
So we immediately, you know, we started doing the 4-H fairs, and then we tried the breakfasts, we tried the open houses, and really just didn't go by very well. But once we got the 4-H fairs and we did the festival there, the pork festival, we did information booths out there and gave away free bottles of water.
Yeah.
You give away a free bottle of water in the middle of July at a 4-H fair, people are going to stop asking you questions.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I couldn't believe the first year we did a chip program, D-Malay's chip program.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted a chip in their kids when they told us. So I was like, okay, we're not doing that again. Well, we gave away water, and oh my God, we got 2 petitions out of that one festival, that one fair. Like, okay, then we did the pork festival, we got 2 more petitions out of that. And the guys who came in from that were actually pretty active guys. One guy's the secretary of lodge now, past master secretary of lodge, very active guy. And it's great. I mean, but we have to be able to get out there in front of the public and show us that, you know, we do good things. We don't just give money to charity. We don't have a specific charity like the Shrine or anything like that. Yeah.
Anybody can write a check, but when you're actually physically doing something for someone, and it's like when I was a kid, and two of my favorite things at Bible school were eating the cookies and drinking the juice, number one, and then number two was the song. So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right. We've hidden Freemasonry under that bushel that talks about in that song for years. There's no reason to hide this fraternity.
No.
At all. And we're in a unique position now because of the holidays that you're going to be seeing people at work. You're going to be seeing family you don't always see, cousins, brothers, nephews. And talk about this fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. You know, you get to go, well, you're not supposed to ask. Well, we changed that years ago, but it's not about asking. It's about educating. And this is something that, you know, this is what I've gotten out of fraternity. That's why my brother joined. My brother was not a joiner. He never joined anything other than being very active in his church. And over the years, you know, just the soft conversations of, hey, what are you doing? This is what's going on in fraternity. This is what's doing for me. And, you know, he joined late in life, but he's like, I wish I'd have done this years ago. Well, most of us do wish we would have done it years ago.
I've heard many men say, I wish I'd done this 20 years ago.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. You know, all the sons and the grandsons that missed the opportunity because dad or grandpa never talked about it.
Right.
You know, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
You know, our secrets are very simplistic in the ritual that we can recognize one Mason from another in a crowd.
I don't think dad ever talked to me about it.
My dad.
Grandpa, like, when I asked grandpa for a petition, back then we went in the dark in June and July, or July and August here. I asked grandpa about a petition in June of 2007, and he gave me one. They voted on it back at the September meeting or whatever, and then in October of 2007 took my hair to print. But I don't think dad ever talked Freemasonry with me, but when I asked grandpa that summer night, sitting on his front porch, just, you know, a couple blocks over that way, grandpa's exact words, he goes, you know how long I've been waiting on you to ask me?
Yeah.
Well, I was 20 years old. But
my dad, he always had Masonic symbols around. We had ashtrays, he had lighters with Masonic symbols, belt buckles. Specifically with my grandpa on mom's side, he had belt buckles and rings. He always had a big, remember his maroon ring? My uncle has it now. It's a big maroon ring with a square compass in it and a diamond in it and everything. I always saw that and I always asked about it. You know, we're Freemasons. That's what we do. We, you know, try to make ourselves better by doing certain, by following certain rules. Like, okay, cool. And it was always around, but it was never, one day you're going to join the lodge. In fact, I think my dad almost kind of tried to scare me off of it, I think, because I told him I wanted to join Lodge. He goes, I'll tell you right now, there's no drinking, there's no women. I said, okay. I'm okay with that, because I'm not going to be in there 24 hours a day, Dad. Come on. but you know, it was something like that where it's always around. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. All 24 years I've been in it now. So
we're seeing a lot of, I see every one of the internet inquiries that come through. So I check those every morning.
Yeah.
And the mass majority of those guys are going, I didn't know anything about this fraternity. I don't know a lot about it, but Grandpa was a Mason.
Right.
We skipped my generation, really. But Grandpa was a Mason. So I would encourage, I'm going to talk about this on maybe this week or next week, that, you know, lodges have access to their lodge portal. Go through all the grandfather age guys.
Yeah.
Call them, send them a note. Do you have any grandsons? Let's bring them in and talk to them.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are joining right now.
Anytime we have any sort of community event here, Philip makes sure to open the lodge.
Oh, the lodge is open.
And he waits. And if he sees somebody wander in, he's right behind to talk to him.
Bird dog, I always call it.
I mean, but you talk about ambassadorship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't want to throw any, I'm not throwing anybody on, again, we never do that, but talk about an ambassador that our secretary is for this lodge.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
With potential, I mean.
Just Freemason in general,
just Freemason
he is.
In general.
I remember I did a funeral with them for goodness, I can't think of his name now, but the pastor that overseed the everything, and he was just amazed. And I thought we were going to get a petition out of it. Like,
yeah,
Philip brought him in here.
Oh, I remember. I was here for that one.
Yeah, like Philip brought him in here. They talked forever. I thought, this guy is going to join our fraternity. You know what I mean? Because he was just so impressed by the funeral presentation that we did. And
we did graveside that time.
We did graveside that day.
And even if he doesn't, you've left a positive impression.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the great thing about opening. It's not for everybody. This culture is not for everybody.
No.
But then they can go, hey, I met with those guys. I don't have the time for it, but, you know, they seem like a great group of guys to their guys at work instead of going, well, you know, they wouldn't even talk to me. You know, that you good press is better than bad press any day.
A lot of times we guys come in here and we kind of stay with our own group and we don't gather. Hey, how you doing? What'd you come up here for? You know,
yeah.
How you related to
true
whoever.
Here, though. Here, everybody.
Not always.
That's parking lot masonry happens.
And that's where we miss a lot of times in our responsibility as lodge officers. What's the duty of the senior deacon? To welcome and accommodate visiting brethren. When I was senior deacon, I stood at the door and I talked to everybody that walked in the door. Because I felt like that was my job, to welcome and accommodate. Hey, you doing all right? You need anything? Great to see you. I've never met you before. Oh, you're a visitor? Okay, let me go introduce you to the master. We'll get that all worked out. You know, we all have a responsibility. And then you start to know everybody. Senior deacon, all of a sudden he knows everybody. Now he's going to be junior warden. You know, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for everything in this fraternity.
There is, definitely do, yeah. There is.
And I hate, anybody that knows me knows if I go to an event, I probably won't sit with my friends.
Yeah.
I have plenty of friendship time. I go find the guy sitting in the corner. I used to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, in high school, sitting in the corner by myself.
Just kind of sulking
Yeah, just kind of trying to stay in my own. Some guys like that. You go up to them, hey, can I sit with you? Or you want to move over here with us? No, I'm fine here. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. But you find those guys that are no one's talking to, that's sitting by themselves. They look out of place. You know, that's our mission. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not sitting with the three guys we always talk to about the same things every month.
Exactly. I spend enough time with these guys.
Yeah.
John's our designated travel coordinator. John does the majority of the driving.
I had, but no, Todd's got, I haven't here recently. When I was on night shift, I felt like I was the driver.
I got a new car.
Todd's got a new car now. When you talked about earlier how you apply it to your life, you know, I always thought I was a pretty good person, but, you know, Freemasonry has allowed me to change.
You are wearing a bow tie right now, so.
A Masonic bow tie, though.
Yeah,
it is a Masonic.
It makes
bow tie.
Me think of Max.
Oh yeah,
Max Hall and our late brother. So glad we had Max on it. Max. Fun fact for our inside joke, whatever you want to call it. Max, when we were finished that day recording at Newburgh, he goes, "Do you want me to have my wife make you a couple?" I'll have. I said, "No, Max, you ain't gotta have her do that because she handmade some of his bow ties."
Mm-hmm.
And I miss Max. I love Max.
I do
pieces.
Too. And it's kind of my point. I wear that now because of Max. I met him at Lodge one night, and he just had a profound impact on me. Just the conversation. I didn't know the man. He came over and sat on the sidelines with me, introduced himself, and we just had a great conversation.
Real quick, 30-second sidebar on Max. 30-second, and we'll get back to Randy episode. So I first met Max, I think it was 2009. So then, and you know, I go to night shift, and I'm gone 8 years, whatever. So when I came back in 21, you and I went to a degree somewhere. It wasn't Fort Branch. It was one closer Max came up for. And I was standing there talking to somebody, and I felt this hand just come squeeze the back of my neck. I turned around. It was Max. And he said, "Welcome back to the fraternity." He said, "You have been missed." And I was like, "Oh, Max, you say it to everybody, don't you?"
He does. He does.
But see, the beauty of what you said now, you have the opportunity to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
To be that guy that leaves an impression upon somebody. We all have that responsibility.
We do.
Well, that's why I've said before that, you know, I got almost 25 years in the fraternity now. And I remember being that young guy who I always thought I was being annoying, asking all these dumb questions and everything. And now I look back thinking, no, I wish everybody come to me and ask these questions, because I know the answers now. Mm-hmm. Most of them, for the most part. If not, I'll help you find it. But you know, it's strange how you go from being, 24 going lodge to being 47. And now you're like, wait a minute, I'm that guy now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm no longer the youngest master of the lodge, the youngest master mason. I'm the guy who's
Pushing 50, guy. You're
shut up. I've stayed at 47 for another 5 years.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and jump into a little bit more about the Follow Me to Freemasonry, but we can't do that without talking about the amazingly produced video. Now, we had Darian, I think it was Darian Coons that we talked to at length about that video, because Darian loves that video. And we love Darian, by the way. How did that whole video come together, and how did you have the idea, like, you know what, let's put a little spin on this to help promote this? That was, as somebody that, even though I went part-time, I went back to the factory full-time, as somebody that's, you know, that was incredibly
well-produced,
like, hats off to everybody involved with that.
Well, that was one of my brainchilds that I've had for a while. I tried to share that with a couple other past grandmasters as they were coming through, because I had a lot of arrows in the quiver that I wanted to use, and I'm glad I kept that one. I ended up keeping it.
Yeah.
Number one, I just love the poem, "When Is a Man a Mason?" because it's a good illustration of who we're supposed to be, beyond the ritual, that puts it in real lifetime, real words. And it's extremely inspirational, and it kind of sings to the heartstrings of all good Masons, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it accomplished something. Now, a couple guys, I had my idea, and they kicked around a few other things. But I wanted to show the diversity of the fraternity. Just like we talked about that, you know, you can't be around cops all the time. You know, you get to know so many different men of so many different backgrounds across the state that... You know, we handpicked all these different brothers. You know, we had a lot of volunteers, but we really wanted to showcase.
I don't think you had my number that
the
time.
The difference is
I would put it out. Yeah, like you and I were going to be in this video. Get over yourself.
Yeah, this ain't really the money maker right here. Yeah.
But it really showed, I think, the diversity of the craft.
I did too.
And
it did.
And that just in that simple time of somebody asking a question. So the kid's the master of my lodge right now, Daniel Williams. He's the interested prospective member. So he's my master, one of my best friends, who I would have never have known if it weren't for the Masonic Lodge. His dad's one of my best friends. That was his business, his farm. And so it shows that, hey, you know, young guys are interested in learning about this fraternity. What is this about? And then me being the grandfatherly guy that gets asked the question, takes the time to say, hey, sit down for a minute.
And that was so, again, the TV and radio guy in me and knowing how to produce news. But Randy, that was such a beautiful shot. Randy sitting right there, hey, sit down, let's talk about this.
Yeah,
like,
it was,
so well done.
Yeah.
Just having all the other members come in there and talk to stuff like that. Like,
including our buddy. Well, they're all our buddies, but...
Dave Hosser.
Davey. Because them two, him and Peas in a Pod.
Oh, yeah.
The disco photos, the disco night. Was that this year or last year?
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
over
the disco.
The Sahara Grotto,
Oh, man. Love that stuff.
And let's talk about that beautiful black Dodge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
let's talk about Betty.
So then as you know, each brother comes in and builds, you know, when Chris Bentlich comes in with his wheelchair and all the different brothers and all the different professions, it just painted the picture that I wanted it to paint. And was really done, we gave each person their script. We had a videographer, 3 weeks before we were to film, he canceled.
Oh no.
I think I heard that.
And
oh,
we're
no.
like, oh. And we didn't say, oh, no. We said, oh, something. And God bless Dave, because he knows a lot of people, too. He got on the phone and just started calling brothers. Do you know anybody that does video work? Know anybody that does video work? Know anybody that does video work? We found a new Master Mason, 4 months of Master Mason, Phil Seitz from Reed Lodge.
Okay.
Yes, oh, we're talking about Phil.
Yeah, we had him on the show
We sent him all the stuff. He came down with his camera, little tube camera, the Grand Lodge's camera, literally a microphone taped on a three-legged ladder.
Nice.
And a drone that was the farmer's, my buddy Carrie's drone. And
yeah, that's what I really liked about the drone work on that.
Yeah.
It just capped it off a perfect little.
Yeah, Phil is extremely talented.
Randy, and I don't want to, I'm not underselling this at all, or I'm not overselling it. you know, we get feedback on this show four different ways. We get feedback word of mouth from people that are local. We get feedback to both of our personal Facebooks.
And break through the window.
And through that other Masonic podcast channels, like our Facebook page, the TikTok. There was a lot of, you know, we do get a lot of downloads, not just in the state of Indiana, but across the country, across the globe.
We shared all that stuff.
And we had people asking, I don't know what this Follow Me to Freemasonry thing was. Then they heard us talking with Darian Coon. We spent a good 45 minutes talking to Darian about that. After that episode aired, we had people, I just went and watched that video. Incredible. Speechless. Feels good. That's a great way. Like, we got feedback off of something you did.
Oh, yeah.
Which we're like, credit goes to all them guys, but it wasn't us.
Great logic.
But we just want to talk about it. But it was, I think you guys hit a home run with that. It was truly incredible.
And that brings up a good question. As far as like the videos, like you guys did the Follow Me Freemasonry, if any of your lodge want to do that, I mean, today the technology we have is not hard to film a 15 second or even a 15 minute video, because there's guys on YouTube doing it with an iPhone. Editing and everything on an iPhone.
All our new stuff we do nowadays quicker, right here with our phones. Yeah. They're better than our TV cameras.
What to keep, you know, Freemasonry from coming into the 21st century and actually using technology, and guys making videos and doing vlogs.
As long as you keep it monetarily, you know, from the monitor.
Yeah.
Well, what we're working on right now is Phil's working on it. We're trying to get some film for Founder Day. I don't know if we're going to accomplish it or not, but to finish off the year of being in your place of work, whether it's in the factory or at the radio station.
That's right. I got to do something like that.
You know, coaching your kids' game or wherever you're at, and put on your white apron and just in that position of wherever you're at in your life, might be fishing, whatever it is, and just look at the camera and say, you know, kind of hold your apron and say, you might not always see it, but I'm always wearing it. Follow Me to Freemasonry.
Wow.
I got
boom.
Network.
We can just go ahead
and do this right here.
Just go ahead and do this. Look, that's
right there.
Which, you know, I could have a buddy film me at work doing that and be 5 minutes and be done.
Send them to us. I think Dave's got the download ready that we can send them out. Then we're going to start shipping them out. You can ship them out on your own. Put the hashtag Follow Me to Freemasonry on it. And that's something, that's my website. I created Follow Me to Freemasonry, and I will keep that. And every, like with John coming in as the incoming Grand Master here in 4 months, that, you know, we'll put his stuff on there. But that's something I'm going to keep for my engagements and my stuff, because the theme is so good that, you know, John's going to have his theme and everyone's going to have his thing. But, man, this is our lifestyle of Follow Me to Freemasonry, is being the kind of man that other men want to be.
You know, and we've said this before, like, look at the themes. Like we said when Dave took the Grand East, like, you know, with Randy there and Bridegroom and like this fraternity, if you look at the Grand Line, you know, from when Dave was in the Eden Out, like this fraternity is set up in a really wonderful position for the next several years. If the Grand Line holds the way it's going, like tremendous leadership, great minds, great brotherhood, they're all preaching more brotherhood,
but
more Masonic education.
You don't have that old school values either. We're not going to change anything. We're going to do it the way.
No, everything's new.
Everybody's
conventional thinking.
We'll listen to you. What's your idea? Okay, but I like where you're going, but to know you. You know, which is how it always should have been. You know, I mean, I get all the time at work. Hey, when do you start doing this? No, we've never done that before. We're not going to try it. I'm like, okay, but how do you know it's not going to work? We're not going to do it. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
I just think that's a killer.
It kills your whole momentum in your life and everything. Hey, I got this great idea. You're all excited. And you get no. Then you come with another idea. No. After a while, I'm like, why am I even asking?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I read a book one time, you know, it's about... I've read a few books in my life. But, it's talking about, you know, how not to shoot somebody down. Because, you know, like, even if you say, that's a great idea, but, you know what I mean, you're interjecting it on. So you lose that. And that's something, like, the people that report to me at work, you know, I'm always like, what do you got? You do it every day. Yeah, I've been in your position, but what ideas do you have? Just like I want my bosses to listen to my ideas. And I always say, whether you're at work or in Freemasonry, the words that's the way we've always done it.
It kills everything.
It kills everything.
And that's the simplicity of the Follow Me to Freemasonry cards and the Freemasons Support Those Who Serve cards. Brandon Schultz from down in central Indiana, he kind of came to me with an idea, and it was a similar idea that I had, and we kind of amalgamated those together because he was wanting to do one for his lodge. Well, sure, you can do that. You know, do a QR code and do, but, you know, we were trying to stay consistent with the message of Follow Me to Freemasonry. And, you know, it still irks me a little bit when I go to a lodge and there's a stack of them sitting on the secretary's desk because they're supposed to be in your wallet when you see somebody that you know, like, respect, or ask a question, hey, here, take this card. Yeah. You know, and we've passed out, I don't know, tons of those, tons of those. And the smile on the faces of, you know, police officers are pretty suspicious by nature. I know that because I was one. You go to hand them something, like, no, this is just a thank you. Hey, thanks for what you do. You know, guys don't get thanked very often.
No.
You know, firemen even, police officers, military, hey, just thanks a lot. And they look at that, and, you know, if it bears fruit, great. If it doesn't, hey, we thank this guy, and we appreciate what you do, and, you know, be safe, a little prayer on it. You know, it's a lot of this isn't rocket science. It's just building relationships.
Like, and it just put, being the, open put about Freemasonry it. Out there in front of them.
Yeah.
If you want to, it's like going fishing. You got to put the bait out there to catch them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't put it out there, you're never going to catch anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, I do want to use this opportunity to bring this up, just kind of a little inside jab, but Todd's always worried when I say this to a Grand Line officer. So the current Indiana Monitor is a 1997 edition. I was wondering if, you know, I know you know some people. Todd's like, shut it up. We need an updated monitor with maybe a few more things in it. Can we
work on that?
I mean, I'm sure you know some people. Can we maybe get an updated monitor? Because the last update we have is 97.
No.
No. Okay.
All right. We just talked about that. What would you want to add to it?
I want the funeral presentation.
Well, that's in there, and I always...
The funeral presentation.
It always irks me when people's like, you can have that. There's a different... Like, no, but I want it all in one contained book.
I want everyone to have it.
But, that's, I mean, thing. I'm sure there's more Masonic education out there that... Or more, you know, stories like we have in the monitor where it makes you think of things or gives you an idea or something. I feel like maybe some more stuff, because, like, I love the monitor. I mean, I retired mine. I'm carrying a 75 edition now because that was Grandpa's book. And I want, you know, I've said it before, I sit and lodge with Grandpa every time now that I have his monitor. So it's got even less stuff in it than what my 97 model's got.
Pretty close.
But I feel like there's always a little bit more Masonic education we could probably put in the monitor, right?
Well, you know, I don't disagree with that, but, you know, in today's technological environment.
That's the thing,
you know,
tech.
We have the capability, if you look in your portal, we put everything in the portal.
Yeah.
It's free.
The printing is free.
The questions and answers are all in there. It's accessible.
I do check the portal every once in a while. I really do.
There is... You know, and it needs some work. We'll probably get reorganized one of these days, but everything's in there. The 357 program. Yep.
We did get new
the
rituals.
Builder program.
We did.
We found those in the drawer down here just the other night when we were recording. We found those in there. They're pretty in black. They're
I got
nice.
Mine. Mine is, two generations back, the one I still use.
It's falling apart.
Oh, yeah. I need a new one. It's wore out.
Just like us.
Yep, pretty much. Well, we probably need to put a bow on this.
What we do, because we're doing this, you know, you guys aren't going to hear this for weeks after the fact, but we're doing this on the weekend of our Christmas dinner, and Randy has came down for this, and we've got people waiting to get in the room to take pictures. So here's what we're going to do. We always say we're going to bring somebody on for a second episode.
We will.
We'll definitely bring Randy back, because there's so much we want to talk to, but we just don't have the time tonight. But
it'll be a good episode, don't it?
Oh, no, it's going to be a home run here. But we can't get out of here without... Asking
the question.
And Randy has supported us and supported the show for a while, so he knows there's no right or wrong answer, so we're just going to throw it out there.
Go ahead.
Todd, let's do it. So, Randy, when you lay down your working tools, because why, Todd?
Nobody gets out alive.
Nobody gets out alive. And you think back, you know, to your life, not just as a man, but also as a Mason. What do you hope that your... You know, people remember you by, you know, whether it's a man or specifically, we're usually talking masonry, but, you know, what do you hope your legacy to the craft will be?
Oh, that's pretty deep.
There's no right or wrong answer.
I would like people to look back and say he was a good brother. He was a good father. He was a good grandfather. He was a good brother.
Nice.
You know what I love? We're 100 plus episodes into this show that I thought nobody'd take off. You know, the two people just become the first in Indiana to start a Freemasonry podcast, and it's us idiots.
Us two idiots. Yeah.
But in 100 something episodes, the answer is never bad.
And
sometimes the simplest ones are the most poignant and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have there. So, Randy, I'm so sorry we're cutting this short, but we will definitely get you back on again, whether it be a phone call or we drive up to Temple. I originally, when we decided we're going to wait till Randy went to the East, you know, God willing, the line held, which it did. We were like, why don't we do that at Temple? Because we're on this lodge tour kick, and people like when they – it's the weirdest thing to do the lodge tour. People get excited about us coming just to record episodes at their place.
I wanted to do it during the Sunday conversation. That's why I wanted to do it.
No, we can't do that. The man's on Facebook Live. But
so?
We wanted to do it up at Temple. But one of these days, we'll get up there and check out Temple Lodge.
That would be good. Before we wrap up, let me just say a couple.
Absolutely.
I would like to come back because I'd love to talk about the 357 program.
Okay.
Oh,
and
yes.
A little bit more about the Follow Me to Freemasonry of, again, just being the kind of man other men want to be. And on top of that, being the kind of Mason that other Masons want to be. It's really twofold in that situation. But I really want to talk about the 357 program. But I just want to shout out to you guys for everything that you do to promote Freemasonry, all three of you. And but more importantly, the most important brother in the room is the brother sitting there with a smile on his face that's always ready to help, whether it's me to jump up and do ritual or cook a meal or be the one to go visit the widows. And Freemasonry is alive and well in Indiana. There is such a great spirit out here. We've broken records at the Masonic Home Festival, at Schofield House, at tons of our events. And that's because of the individual brothers in the lodges doing the things that they need to do and promoting themselves and promoting this great fraternity. Don't ever think that Freemasonry is not alive, because it is. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and appreciate what you guys do. And
you.
I want to piggyback on that, though, because I can't speak for you. You can speak for yourself, and John can too. But at the end of the day, you know, we crack all the jokes, and sometimes we act like belligerent idiots. But people love listening to us. But it still hits me in the feels. I don't know about you, when somebody like Grandmaster Disciple and Dave Morgan did it. Roger Van Gordon, to borrow a wrestling term, Roger Van Gordon put us over big time.
Oh, yeah.
But when people thank us for what we're doing for the craft, and you and I, being the idiots we are, we just look at them and we always say the same thing. We're just doing a podcast.
We're just having
like
fun.
What are we failed to see sometimes how people thank us for what we're doing, but it does make us feel good. You know, when we get up there to Grand Lodge every year and we get up to Founders Day, people stop. People come and stop us. The first year, we stopped people.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, people stopped us.
Well, most of they stop you, what's a podcast?
Yeah, the very first, what's a podcast? Now, that was year one. Now, year three, it's people stop like, hey, can we take a picture with you guys?
Yeah.
Hey, can I get on the show?
Fun fact, we love everybody, but
we can't
one,
everybody
the quickest
show.
Way to not get on the show is to repeatedly ask, hey, can I be on the show?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Grand Line. Don't ask to be in the Grand
yes.
Line.
Yes. Don't ask to be in the Grand Line.
Anywho.
Let's wrap
this thing up.
All right. So, brother, if you wouldn't mind to introduce yourself one more time just for the sheer enjoyment of it.
This is Randy Disciple, Grand Master Masons of the State of Indiana.
And we thank you for being here, Randy.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
for Brother Todd.
For Brother Jared.
And Brother John. This has been a season finale. We're done. One,
for
two, three.
Weeks.
Season finale of That Other Masonic Podcast. And we will see you guys at the season premiere at Founders Day. Come check us out. We'll be out on the mezzanine.
Weather permitting.
Weather permitting. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.